biggest stories, the best names, and all the big breaking news. The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon is on right now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Watt tapped it back to his own end. Final 10 seconds. Lightning are running out of time here. Stamkos goes in the near corner. Is bumped by Makar.
Terrible call.
Here's Killorn at the near boards. Sweeps it forward to Perry at center ice, and this is over. Congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche. They have won the Stanley Cup. They mobbed Darcy Kuemper. They had a great season. They had a great playoff. And they certainly earned it in this series. So the Lightning's reign is back-to-back champs. That comes to an end, but they gave a valiant effort tonight.
That was the call last night here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan as the Colorado Avalanche win Game 6 over the Tampa Bay Lightning and have won the 2022 Stanley Cup Final. It's too bad we couldn't get Connor on the Avalanche radio side. We had the Lightning call last night, but there you have it. They have done it as they only lost, I believe, four times. 16-4, took them 20 games, and the Avalanche are your 2022 Stanley Cup champions. Lots going on post-game, lots to get to today as we welcome you into a Monday edition of The Big Show. Live from the Sportsnet 960 downtown studio, my name is Will Nault alongside Logan Gordon. Logo, first of all, how are you, sir? How was your weekend?
My weekend was fabulous. I had a great time up in Edmonton, which I don't often say. But yeah, enjoyed the weekend. Some great hockey to end it off last night. How about you?
And yeah, for those that are wondering why you had a good time, you were at the Garth Brooks concert at Commonwealth, and was the weather outstanding? I know that was the big concern for some people.
Yeah, I went on Saturday, and it was unbelievable. It was as good as you could have asked.
And the concert was just half decent.
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah. That guy doesn't really know how to put on a performance or anything. So, no, it was great. It was as packed as I've ever seen Commonwealth. And I know there were some concerns on Friday about managing the crowd. I didn't notice any of that on Saturday. It was
were you
awesome.
Sitting up high or were you
floor?
Okay,
back a little bit, but on the floor it was pretty good.
Guy's good.
I know where Rogers' money's going now.
That's not true.
Unbelievable. Like, this guy's salary must be $200,000.
Over a 10-year period, maybe.
That's unbelievable. Good for you. I'm glad you were up there. Safe travels there and back. And I'm super happy that the weather was fantastic for you, because I know that was a
that was the biggest worry for
some people. Is, you know, you didn't want a rainstorm or nothing, but you were there. You were having a great time. And yes, I mean, all kidding aside, if nobody listening has seen Garth Brooks live, you got to put it on your bucket list. He puts on a heck of a show. And the one image I have, I saw him at the Saddle Dome on the 100th anniversary of the Stampede when he did the eyebrow flush with his thumb. The camera just saw all the sweat pouring off his forehead. That guy goes about as hard as anybody, and it's awesome to see. So glad you had a good time. Yeah, the weekend was great. Again, the weather you can't complain about. Saturday and Sunday, both outstanding. And yes, we finally see the end of the NHL season as Game 6 goes to the Avalanche and they win the Stanley Cup. But it's hard to believe, Logo, 5 years ago, this was a historically bad team. Like, we're talking one of the worst seasons in NHL history. And here they are 5 years later. They've climbed the mountain and they are the Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody saw it coming 5 years ago that this would be the spot that you're in. I think it's everything that you hope for when you're in that sort of position, that you're going to develop these great players and it's all going to come together for you. But look, as we know, as sports fans and as people that do this for a living, well, it doesn't always happen that way. There's plenty of bad stories of teams that have been, you know, historically bad, that it's never gotten good. The grass has never been greener. You know, it's never gotten greener for some people. For Colorado, it did. They stuck to the process. They hired the right people. You know, looking at Joe Sakic, who made, you know, some tough decisions. And I, you know, think specifically of that Matt Duchene situation. And everybody screaming for weeks, when is this getting done? When is this happening? Well, you know, when is it time to finally get this done? And I'm sure it was a similar situation. I mean, we've heard about it. We've talked about it. The Jared Bednar one after year one looked like a mistake. Now it looks like the best decision he could have made sticking with Jared Bednar. So I think it's, I don't know if it's a blueprint for other teams to get as historically bad as the Avalanche were a couple of years ago, but maybe it's a blueprint on patience and making sure you have the right guys making those right decisions, because that's what I look at this Colorado, you know, sort of championship as a team that did it the right way and found their time, and they've had to learn some of those lessons along the way, but it was all able to come to fruition this year and finally, you know, reach that final goal that they've wanted for so long.
So the Avalanche are Stanley Cup champions, and also congratulations to Cale Makar. He wins the Conn Smythe Trophy. He's now got the Hobie Baker, Calder, Norris, Conn Smythe, and Stanley Cup, and he's 23 years old. So that's pretty good if you're Cale Makar.
Not much, eh?
Life is, I think that's good. Last time I checked, I'm not exactly sure. Our first guest can confirm or deny whether or not that's good, but I certainly think that's a pretty good resume at age 23. Also, it is official. Luke Richardson is hired as the 40th head coach in Chicago Blackhawks history. The team announcing that this morning on their social media accounts. And the Hockey Hall of Fame class of 2023 has been announced. Congratulations to the Sedin twins, Roberto Luongo, Daniel Alfredson, Rika Salinen, and Herb Carnegie in the builder category. That is a 2022 Hockey Hall of Fame class. Congratulations to them, and we'll have more on that as the afternoon continues. Right now, let's bring in our good friend, NHL and Flames analyst Peter Lovardius. You hear him every day on this program. It's his final week with us doing these hits regularly, but of course, there'll be big occasions to have him on during the summer. And Lou, like always, joining us for our friends at the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Lou, how are you, sir?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We are good. Everything is well in your world. How was your weekend and things on the West Coast?
19 softball games later, I am back.
Wow.
And had a fabulous time calling world-class softball, a sport that I hold very near and dear to my heart. Saw some incredible talent and had a great time. You know, in those kind of situations, you always wish you had a few more hours in every day sometimes when you're doing three games a day and you prepare, as I like to do. It doesn't necessarily leave you a lot of time for anything else, but I wouldn't trade it for one second, and would love to do that event now that COVID hopefully is over for the most part and the event continues going forward on an annual basis.
That's awesome. Glad to hear you're back safe and sound in 19 games. That's fabulous. And that's awesome, man. Congratulations on that. I'm sure it was, and the weather seemed to be lovely every day too, which is fantastic.
Oh, it was just fabulous. It started a little cool on Monday and even Tuesday evening, but, you know, on the weekend it was 24, 28, 29, and they had crappy weather there before, you know, this week in particular. So everything played out on that front as well as it possibly could.
And just one final note on that, it looks like as well, Lou, you a special shout out, and the Olympic bronze medalists were honored from Tokyo.
Yeah, that was really special, and having a chance to call the Olympic qualifying tournament 3 years ago in that very ballpark and getting to know a lot of the athletes and, you know, watching them win Canada's first ever medal in the sport of softball, and brought back a lot of great memories and a great group of players. Canada now very much in transition going forward, especially in arguably the most important position in that sport, which is pitching. So there's some work to be done if by 2028 it actually beats out breakdancing or whatever is going to come up against it, and get back into the Olympics. Sorry. I never miss on that opportunity, and yeah. I never will.
Sorry, breakdancing. Yeah, you can beat it.
Well,
I said it. You didn't have to
get it. When the tournament is in, or when the Olympics are in France.
Yeah.
I don't know how much softball there is in France, although they do compete in European championships. So très bien or not très bien, depending on how you want to look at it.
He is Peter Labardius. He joins us today on The Big Show and every day on The Big Show to kick things off. Logo, you want to shift gears to
hockey? Yeah. I mean, what did you make of last night, Lou? Game six after a hard-fought win from Tampa. And, you know, we walked into this one. Steven Stamkos got the Lightning on the board first. And what a third period that was from the Colorado Avalanche.
Well, you really can't play any better than they did. The Kucherov chance with about 6.5 minutes left was a great one, and it required an excellent save by Kemper. But I remember, and we haven't really referenced it very much during the series, but going into it, talked a lot about could Colorado get the job done in close games? Well, they got the job done in some close games, and now they are the champs. They are deserving champs. They were the better team. They had a magnificent season. You mentioned the 16-4 record in the playoffs. And the thing I really like about what happened for them is it's a bit of a lesson on a couple of fronts. We all want it to happen tomorrow as sports fans, but it takes time. And it usually does. I know people don't always like to hear it, but it does usually take a setback here or two to understand what it takes, and more importantly, how miserable it feels on the other side. Because that's what generally turns the tide a little bit. You don't want to feel that way anymore. And, you know, Nathan MacKinnon talked about it last year, how he hadn't won bleep. Well, he's won bleep now, and they deserve it. They absolutely 100% were the best team in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it's not very often, guys, that you get a dream matchup like the one that we just witnessed. And I thought, by and large, it very much lived up to its billing.
Yeah, I guess that was kind of where I was heading next was, you know, against expectations, it sure felt after two games that this wasn't going to be another long series. And, I mean, six games is, you know, as much as Colorado played in any series this season or this postseason, Lou. I mean, they never trailed. The closest anybody ever came was they were tied with St. Louis. 1-1 in the second round. Other than that, we know they swept the Oilers and they swept the Nashville Predators. And I guess just I'm interested how you saw it, you know, as the series played out after that 2-0 start in Colorado. It sure seemed like it was going to be another easy go for the Avalanche.
Well, this is a really a tale of two situations for me. And that is, you know, a great team with great talent in all the right areas, with, I guess, the exception, and I don't want to downplay former Red Deer Rebel, Darcy Kemper, but, you know, you wouldn't necessarily, he's not Vasilevsky, and frankly, I'm not sure at this point anybody is, but they have great players, they have as good a defenseman as there is, and he's just scratching the surface, MacKinnon, Landeskog, Rantanen, you know, go on down the line. And we've also mentioned, funny, Arturi Lehkonen gets a couple of big ones, doesn't he, fellas?
I was thinking about you last night when he scored the second goal. I'm like, yeah, there he is. Unbelievable.
You know, and all the moves that Joe Sakic has made and certainly made at the deadline paid dividends. But on the other side, I have to tell you, I know they didn't win. I know there is great disappointment, but it would be impossible for me to properly give my feelings in words about the now former champs. Just absolutely, in every way, shape, or form, spoke to what champions are, what they do, how they battle. There can't be two winners. There shouldn't be two winners. The right team won, but boy, what a spring the Tampa Bay Lightning had.
Well, I think we've talked a little bit about it. Certainly, as the playoffs have gone on here, and you look at a couple of the deficits the Lightning have faced, and certainly most notably in this series and in the Eastern Conference Final against the Rangers, and you look at how many guys were banged up and what they battled through. That's a special kind of, I guess, to use that, the cliche phrase, heart of the champion, Lou, to stay that hungry. It's pretty impressive.
Oh, it's beyond impressive. It's his biggest story. I think the only other time I've felt this way in watching the sport, and granted at the time they were clearly my favorite team, but it's the first time maybe since the Islanders situation in the early 80s that, yes, Edmonton clearly better when they finally took the title away after 19 consecutive playoff series wins for the New York Islanders. But I do. I reflected back just thinking about it last night with how great a team that was and how they laid it on the line. And, you guys are obviously too young to remember that team and what they fought through in a lot of series going way back. They had deficits and, lots and lots of hurdles, but found a way and kept finding a way. And that's what Tampa has done. And I wouldn't say I have even more fondness for what Tampa has done, because it's very similar in the salary cap era, though. To win 11 series in a row in the way they did it in the COVID times, the short turnarounds, the deficits even in the last couple of months, they're great for hockey. I'm sure there's a lot of people who, and I heard it, they get sick of teams that do really, really well. Maybe for you guys different, but they weren't the type of team that, for me, ever rubbed me the wrong way.
Well, you can chime in here. I was just going to say, another part of it, too, is I think some of the stuff attached, like the Kucherov thing last year. There's certainly some, I think, people that are sick and tired of it, Logan, but I didn't find them necessarily a hard group to cheer for, and I certainly wasn't, oh, I hope they get swept, or I hope that the Rangers knock them off. I think we all like cool stories, and to see the Rangers back at a cup final would have been sweet. But, yeah, I didn't have any issue with the run they had been on. I can understand why there is maybe some people or some naysayers out there, but I didn't have an issue.
I find that there's somebody that always, has a problem with somebody else's success in any capacity, probably in sports, maybe the loudest sometimes. But, yeah, I didn't. And I'm sure I've seen it on Twitter, and I'm sure you guys have to, being in the city that we are with the team that we cover and the most prominent run that this team here has gone on being against the Tampa Bay Lightning. I understand some of the distaste for that group there, but it's a completely different group now and a different team. And I think sometimes we're too quick to, I want to say be jealous, Lou, is sometimes the right word. And not always appreciate
envious,
the greatness.
Envious is probably right word.
Yeah.
But I agree.
We don't really appreciate what we're seeing. And I just looked at it as seeing a great group with this Tampa run. And I was just trying to appreciate it for what it is, because we might not have another one like that for a very long time.
No, it'll be hard pressed. I don't think either one of these two teams are going away either anytime soon. Colorado has work to do, and the other guys have a little work to do too. But, you know, I don't even like to throw this out about Tampa. I wouldn't have mind seeing that series with a healthy Braden Point.
Oh, 100%. Sure would have made it a different series for sure, I think.
Well, I mean, I don't think there's any question about it, but that's all part of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the one thing that, you know, we try to talk about on this hit, and we do and have on a few occasions during the course of the playoffs, don't think that a little good fortune doesn't go a long way. You're not winning any championship without it.
No, whether it's good calls that go your way or injuries or, oh yeah, 100%.
And health is just health of your best people within reason. Nobody's healthy. You know, there'd be nobody healthy on those two groups when it's all said and done. It's just, you know, it's too much of a battle of attrition for anybody to be healthy after that scenario. But if you can have all your key players playing and in a position to play well, when you don't have that, you have a problem. And, you know, I even said it during the Calgary series. I'm not saying that Calgary beats Edmonton if Chris Tanev is a healthy player. I think it's a different series. But again, we can talk about that or anything else all day long. It doesn't matter. It's over, and it's part of what you need to occur to be successful. You're not winning anything without good fortune and relatively good health, and for sure, by and large, good health of your best people.
It was with South Carolina in 2009 and Lake Erie in 2016. Now a Stanley Cup champion with the Colorado Avalanche in 2022. Quite the journey for Jared Bednar, and he gets to say that he's the first coach to have a title in all three of those leagues.
How about that photo the Saskatoon Blade sent out last night? What an absolute beauty of a mullet that guy had.
How much did I enjoy that in one of my all-time favorite jerseys?
Oh, what a beauty photo.
In fact, I have one.
Wow.
I do. It was a little Christmas gift from Nance one year.
Outstanding.
It's just gorgeous. Anyway, I am so happy for Jared Bednar. 48 points. Not everyone, but a lot of people calling for them to go a few years ago after that 48-point season, which, by the way, he had no chance when Patrick Waugh stepped down in the middle of August. And, he's a very suave and debonair guy. He's cool as a cucumber. He's a well-dressed individual. He never seems to get rattled. You know, even in the celebration last night, to listen to him in the post-game news conference almost sounded like they'd just won another game. He's done a heck of a job. And, you know, it really speaks volumes about him. And he's the only coach that's won an East Coast League title and an AHL title and now a Stanley Cup, and has absolutely worked for every opportunity. I love those stories. Those are great sports stories when people, you know, they earn their stripes, they pay their dues, they go through some tough times, they stay with it, and they're rewarded. So really, really happy for them. And yeah, that was, again, a lot like the Islanders of the 80s. You guys missed out on the mullets, and thank goodness they stunk. Even at the time, they were awful. And I never had one.
Me and my my brother and I both had him from the time.
Did you?
Oh yeah, our dad was a hairdresser, and yeah, we had mullets until I was about 6 or 7. My brother rocked it well, though. I'll give him credit. Me not
he
so
did.
Much. Yeah, me not so much. I transitioned to the bowl cut, and that's where I kind of lived for a little bit. So,
I think a lot of mullets in the same vein as Speedos. No one should have them.
What about having a mullet and a Speedo? Mind blown, Lou.
That's
there's an image
for you.
That's
a flag, a suspension, and a lengthy one.
That one's going to go to review? In-person hearing?
No, it doesn't even need a review or an in-person hearing. You're out for it.
I'm appealing.
You're out for a season.
I'm appealing.
Are you appealing?
Yeah. Yeah. You can hear from my lawyers. Well, I'm appealing.
Again?
Yeah. Always.
Okay. All right.
Before we let you go, Lou, we've kept you long enough, but just a thought. That's a pretty stacked class of the Hockey Hall of Fame of 2022. But some talk online feeling that Caroline Ouellette's been maybe snubbed here.
Well, no one. I've also seen that, you know, it was another pass for Alexander McGillney.
Yep.
I hope Carolyn has her day. She most certainly deserves it for the career she had. An absolute difference maker for many a year with our national women's team. Huge overtime goal in Burlington, Vermont to win the 2012 World Championship. Huge in the Olympics. Excellent player. So I would never want to be on one of those committees. A, the job is incredibly difficult. And B, in this day and age where everyone has a forum, no matter what you do, people are always mad. But I think in both those cases, they'll have their day. And certainly hope for Caroline to come sooner rather than later.
You good, looks?
Well, yeah, just probably a quick note on those, you know, three Canucks that defined a pretty good era of hockey there, Lou. I thought it was neat to see Luongo going in with the Twins.
And by the way, I know in this city they were Canucks, but I put this on Twitter earlier. I've never understood the hate for the Sedins. Never.
I don't get it at all. And I truly understand, and I have lived and worked in two Alberta cities where there is no doubt in an era, you know, when the Canucks were a really good team, that the number one rival of the Flames and the Oilers were the Canucks. And there were a lot of guys on that team that it was easy not to like. And there's one in particular, and you guys know which one, that I will never like. Made my blood boil when I watched him play. But how you could not appreciate two of the classiest players that you could ever deal with that were magicians on the ice. And I understand that in the postseason, it never, ever really worked out for them. Even though, let's not forget, in 2011, they were one win away from the title. Yeah, I don't get it. You know, and I'd say exactly the same about the goalie. How could you not like him? Great personality, great player. Sure, you know, did you want it to have him scored on a regular basis when the Flames played them? Absolutely. But yeah, I'm with you on that one, Will. I don't get it. If Ryan Kesler was admitted into the Hall of Fame today, I would clearly get it.
So there you go. The class of 2022 is a pretty good one for the Hockey Hall of Fame, and good to see that back. Of course, it was a little bit, you know, a little crazy there with COVID, but back on task, and certainly a very well-deserved and certainly well-applauded class of 2022. Lou, appreciate the time as always. Take care of yourself, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, fellas. Have a great day.
Peter Labardius, every day for the Gemini Group Home Renovations. Your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference, now offering Air Miles, Reward Miles. You can check them out online, GeminiGroup.ca. He's Logan. I'm Will. We're still waiting answers on a couple of big NFL offseason topics. We'll shift gears for a little bit for the rest of the hour, then back to hockey and more on the Hockey Hall of Fame class coming up at the top of the hour and to kick off hour number two. Big Show rolls on next. This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Hour one rolls on live from the Sportsnet 960 downtown studio. My name is Will Nault alongside Logan Gordon, Aaron Howell, our producer. Don't forget, you can find The Big Show wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple, Google, and Amazon. Subscribe now. Never miss a moment or a guest. Be listening, by the way, all week this week to Boomer in the Morning for your chance to win a family four-pack of seats to the reserved section in Sportsnet 960's party next Friday. You can double the chances by also entering online right now at sportsnet.ca/960. I saw this earlier on the text line. No, you don't need tickets to go to the parade, but we are giving away spots to hang out in our reserved section along the parade route. And Calgary Stampede, what a great way to kick it off by enjoying the Calgary Stampede Parade. And at the parade, we've got free coffee and baked goods. And, of course, the morning show will be live on location on that Friday as well. So there you go. By the way, that's happening all week long during Boomer in the Morning. And we'll contact the winners coming up next Monday. So if you did win this week, don't be alarmed if you didn't get a call. You'll hear next Monday about how you get your four-pack of seats in the Sportsnet 960 reserved section. Are you a big Stampede Parade guy?
I used to be when I was a kid. I would go with my parents when I was a kid. I admittedly haven't been to one in a while, but I know, because obviously working downtown, how big the parade still is. And
Aaron, you're still a parade guy, huh?
Because he has to set up all the time.
I haven't done it.
You're going to be there Friday? You're going to set up on Friday, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Of course.
Told you.
I used to set up the bleachers along the parade route.
So you're a parade expert.
A little bit.
Yeah, I heard the parade route's a little bit extended this year. So
is it?
More room for Kevin Costner fans, man.
You big Yellowstone guy?
I've watched like half of season one. I had too much on my plate to really get into it. But this summer, I'm going to try and hammer the whole thing out. Because I've heard nothing but good things.
It is good.
But I heard the last season, not so good. The latest, I should say.
Aaron, Yellowstone?
I haven't watched it yet, but yeah, I've been meaning to pick that one up.
What have you been busy doing?
Working out?
Yeah, working out.
Anyways, I'll be listening this week to Boomer's show. He'll be giving away tickets every single... I shouldn't say tickets. I should say seats. Giving away seats every single day. Until Thursday, we are off Friday for Canada Day. And, of course, a fabulous long weekend ahead as we celebrate the birth of our country. Logan, I'm not sure if you've been paying... super close attention, but before you know it, you're going to blink and we're going to be at NFL training camps. And the Cleveland Browns hoping to have some sort of resolution on their quarterback situation. Of course, Deshaun Watson is waiting for some sort of news or word from the league office about his status for this season. The longer this thing goes on, the more and more you read about it, you sure are convinced it's going to be a minimum of a dozen games. I actually I'm fascinated to see what that ends up at. I think we've all agreed, and we talked about this, I want to say a couple of weeks ago, I don't think it's going to be less than 10. You can't compare it to other situations of, similar allegations, because the CBA has changed since that. Of course, the two that come to mind, or the one that comes to mind, is Ben Roethlisberger. But the CBA has changed, and it does feel like the NFL wants to I wouldn't say make an example, but certainly doesn't want to get this one wrong. I think it's going to be, I think you said it's going to be criticized either way, but I do wonder what that number ends up at for Deshaun Watson.
It's impossible to predict these things, and I will give the NFL credit that they've started to put in place minimums to these things. Like we talked last week about the Alvin Kamara news from Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk that, look, there's a minimum that comes with, you know, sort of off-the-field conduct when it comes to certain things. And the minimum that Kamara is facing is 6 games for a felony battery charge after the Pro Bowl. He got into an altercation with a guy. But how do you equate that to what Deshaun Watson, you know, there's no, it always involves gray area because there's no, you're right, the Roethlisberger's thing is probably the closest, but the CBA and the rules and everything have changed so much since then. Personal conduct's changed since then. And there's no specific line of, you know, you get X amount of games based on this sort of alleged conduct off the field. So you're left to interpret. That's why I always, you know, lean towards the side of there's going to be criticism one way or the other, because there are people who probably aren't wrong that will say Deshaun Watson shouldn't play football again. Now, to that, I'll argue, you know, there's been people who have done worse than, you know, and I'm not condoning what, you know, Watson allegedly did is good. There are people who have, you know, done worse that continue to play sports. If you're good enough at any sport at the pro level, they'll find a way to keep you around. Just how severe does this punishment wind up being for him, given that he didn't play last year, and given how much this has been publicized, given what happened with the Cleveland Browns and sort of working the contract out so that he didn't lose as much money as he possibly could in all of this. I think a lot of people... Spotlight does a lot for me in this, right? How big of a story has it become? And I think this one's become a massive one for the NFL that they'll have no choice but to throw the book at Watson to try to save face as best they can. But again, it's all about the biggest stars, and, you know, the NFL probably makes more money and brings in more fans when they have a good quarterback in Cleveland like Deshaun Watson. So it's just such a tough situation. I'm with you that I think it's going to be significant. I hope it's going to be significant, but at the end of the day, I don't think anybody can trust what's going to happen one way or the other.
So we'll see when that comes down. I think the belief is from many that the decision will happen as the Browns open up their training camp. And what about how that relates or ties to Baker Mayfield? Ian Rappaport of NFL Network on with Pat McAfee today and said that the two really aren't tied together, to believe it or not.
I know this sounds like it doesn't make any sense, but I am not sure that Baker Mayfield's status hinges on whether or not Deshaun Watson is suspended a year or 10 games or
really?
4 games. Or it's just the Browns and Panthers had some talks 2 weeks ago, right before minicamp ended. It didn't get where it needed to go. They didn't consummate a trade, but they did have some talks, which makes me think at least the Browns are willing to trade him, not knowing what's going to happen to Deshaun. So I don't think, like, if the league gets what it seeks and gets a year, I don't think the Browns are then going to say, all right, we'll just keep Baker, because there's still so much, it's possible, but there's still so much work to be done to get to the point where Baker would be the starting quarterback of the Browns.
So it sounds like the Browns are still willing or hoping to trade him despite potentially losing Deshaun Watson for an entire season. Does that surprise you at all, Logan? I think there's many that believe they're still holding on to him because they thought, hey, at least they'll have somebody that we know, and I don't know if I want to use the word trust, but certainly someone we know. Does that surprise you at all?
A bit. There's just not a lot of great options out there. I know, and I don't know if this ever became official. I know last week there were reports that Jacoby Brissett, the former Colts quarterback, was rumored to be around the Browns situation. as a possible guy that they could bring in if, you know, Mayfield does get traded and they need someone to fill in for Watson. I'm admittedly not the biggest Baker Mayfield guy. I think they've had every reason to explore other options at quarterback, but I still think he's the best option out there to fill in for your group around the, you know, what compared to what other free agents are out there. Like, I'll take Baker Mayfield ahead of Jacoby Brissett. There's just not a lot of options out there. Now, maybe, and I wouldn't be surprised about this, well, the relationship just isn't going anywhere. That, you know, Baker says, look, I really don't care that you guys are, and why would he, really, that you have this situation coming up with Deshaun Watson. I have no interest in being your quarterback for 10 games or 8 games or 12 games next season to save it until Deshaun Watson comes back and then you put him on a pedestal as the number one quarterback and take my job. I probably wouldn't be okay with that if I was in his shoes either. Now, as we've talked about, there's clearly a very limited market for Baker Mayfield right now, given his current contract status. It really sounds like the Panthers and nobody else. So if you're Baker Mayfield and you do want to get out of that situation, is playing the best way to do that? I would say so. But maybe that relationship just isn't tenable to him. Maybe he has no interest in being any sort of asset one way or the other for the Cleveland Browns. And again, I wouldn't blame the guy for that. I'm a bit surprised that the Browns haven't tried to make that situation a little bit better, but it sure sounds like a guy that's been pretty scorned by what's happened in Cleveland.
So we watched that situation. What about the Jimmy Garoppolo situation in San Francisco? Here is the latest on where things are at with Jimmy G.
I think it might help just for cap space, but I don't think it's necessary.
Who wants Jimmy? Carolina? Mm-hmm.
The only team right now who seems to want to be in the mix of trading a quarterback that we know is the Carolina Panthers. So they would be the team that makes sense. This is an injury, though. Like, think about it. He hasn't thrown in 4 months. He's going to throw, it should be actually pretty shortly, probably the next couple weeks, which is good. But then if you're a team trading for him, trading a significant something, compensation, maybe a mid-round draft pick, maybe better, certainly could be better. He's a starting quarterback, plus paying him. You need him to make all the throws. When is he going to be there? Right? Like, is it, yeah. If he's throwing, I mean, how it goes, right? Like, if he's throwing, let's say, in 2 weeks, it's not going to be snap your fingers and he can, you know, throw a deep out. Like, it's going to have to show some things. So I don't think it's going to be snap your fingers and it's immediate. But then, of course, this all gets thrown into flux if someone has a quarterback injury. Because then it's like, then he's out there. Then the 49ers have real, real leverage. Then it gets real interesting.
So there it is, Jimmy Garoppolo situation. He's not going to be throwing or should be throwing here soon. And again, it's going to take some time for teams to feel confident with where he is after surgery, Logan. And as you just heard there, I think the one thing that maybe expedites this, if anything, would be an injury somewhere. And right now, it seems like every team is pretty satisfied, outside of maybe Carolina, to go into training camp with what they've got.
Well, didn't we talk about this before the draft? That was the time to get something done. Now, the Garoppolo one is different because he had to be healthy and teams aren't going to take that risk without knowing. But you and me talked about this as soon as the Deshaun Watson thing was going down with Cleveland. Okay, how soon does something happen with Baker Mayfield? I thought the draft, because nobody wants to walk into July and August in the NFL and not know what their quarterback situation is. It's just not a good spot to be in, you know, as you're going through off-season activities, you're reporting for training camp in a couple of weeks. Nobody wants to be in that spot. So everybody gets their ducks in a row, and even Carolina has a backup. I'm not, you know as well as anybody, Will, that Sam Darnold's not blowing the roof off there, and they would like to see if there's a better option, but they could do worse than having him as their starter. So if the right opportunity comes and they can get a Garoppolo or a Baker Mayfield at a reasonable cost, then I think they'd be interested. But there's just no market for quarterbacks late June, early July. No one wants to walk into the training camp or their quarterback room and say, look, these are three guys I have absolutely no faith in. I don't think any of you can be our starter. No one wants to do that. Even the worst run franchises in the world don't want to do that. So now you've waited too long if you're Cleveland, and you're kind of stuck. You've got to hope there's an injury somewhere that forces the hand of somebody. Because, again, I can't see this getting into the regular season and Baker Mayfield or anybody else having or at least the Baker situation easing itself. The Garoppolo one I can see, once he's healthy, someone taking a stab at him. I don't know about you. It seems silly to have waited for your quarterback. No one has. When I'm listening to Rappaport, I hear no one's waited to figure out their situation right now, and you're kind of left with the scraps.
And again, the the trade is kind of the only option here, because Cleveland's got to pay him either way. You're not going to cut him. So it's not an interesting or fun spot to be in for the Cleveland Browns. And now we all wait to see what the future holds. And who knows, maybe he ends up being their starting quarterback, even when Deshaun Watson's suspended, although that doesn't sound like that would be their number one choice. He is Logan Gordon. My name is Will Nault. That'll do it for hour number one. We will take a break. More on the NFL story later this week and as we roll into the summer months and get closer to training camp. But when we come back, we'll shift gears back to our sweet spot and to hockey as the 2022 Hockey Hall of Fame class. Hall of Flame was announced today. We'll discuss that and more as we roll on into hour number two with a special guest next, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.